duality somehow is very important for me. So I really like the two side of one thing, and somehow I always imagine that there is something, but of course there is an other side of it, and maybe that side is usually hidden, and I would like to make visible the hidden part as well.
Was mit Kunst? Ein Podcast von und mit Johann König.
Today's guest is sculptor Sofia Kerestes. Sofia comes from Budapest in Hungary and works with glass mosaic sculptures and represented Hungary at the last Venice Biennale with a spectacular pavilion. And we are very proud to present her for Berlin Art Week with a big solo exhibition upstairs in the nave with the title In Ethylene Arms. And process evolving behind this exhibition, Sofia is telling us now in the podcast. Sofia, you are born in Budapest. How did you come across art? Like, when did art appear in your life?
I didn't that close to art when I was a small child, but for example, my father likes antique objects and he collected a lot, and we went to a lot of flea markets and tried to find very exciting objects and treasures. So
very specific, no? Like a certain figurative aspect or time?
I don't know, all object was very interesting at that time. So from small boxes to, for example, I really like the nuns' work, like embroidered saint pictures and things like that. And maybe that was a very important connection for me. But there is some hidden artistic veins in the family.
Okay.
Because my mother studied photography, but she worked with applied photography. So she went to small villages and took portraits of people. And my father was in the flower business, and they made flower arrangements and decoration and his own business all the time. And yeah, and it was very inspirational for me that they try to create something with their hands.
So. Also quite sculptural, no?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. But interesting is you study painting.
Yeah.
Not sculpture.
No, but or the period when I was studying painting, it wasn't that important in my life, because before that, in the secondary school, I was studying ceramics, and it was more important. But at that time, you know, we created functional objects, and I somehow couldn't really relate to that kind of art at that time.
And like pottery and stuff?
Yeah. And when I had to apply to the art university, I decided that I would like to be a real artist, so I will study painting. And I was preparing for that very seriously, so I went to paint in extra hours, and it was successful, my application. And during the first year of the university, I just realized that I really need three dimension.
And when did you come across glass mosaic? Because that's like your significant material you're using.
Yeah, it was maybe 6 years ago, and basically I was searching for some material which can give this very shiny mirroring effect or surface, because
almost wet, right?
Yeah, like almost wet.
Yeah,
I really like anatomy and like to watch surgeries, you know, in Instagram stories and things like that. And I also receive inspiration from the shape of the organs and the colors of the organs. And I really wanted to work of the shine of these organs as well. So, so I was looking for some kind of materials which can be good for that. And first I was thinking about resin, but I was afraid of it because I thought it's very toxic. And one of my friend's house, and her mother was making this DIY technique when they break the ceramics into small pieces mm-hmm. and put it on pots, flower pots and things mm-hmm. like that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I just saw that pot and like, wow, I really like the small fragments and the shine of it as well. But that time it was ceramics.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and I was searching a lot that what material should work with it. And first, my idea was that because I was studying ceramics, that I will create my own ceramic tiles with the glaze, and then I will break them and put
okay.
them together. But
these you buy, right?
Yeah. Because I realized that it's super complicated, and I'm not an expert of it, so. So,
but it's a little bit three-dimensional painting, no? It's like you can create the shapes which have this... Yeah, I think it's interesting they are sort of ageless and genderless, right? I mean, it's not really clear if they're so timeless, no, in their character. And the palette, how wide is the palette? It's usually pastel colors.
Yeah, but you can buy anything you want.
Yeah. You represented Hungary in the last Venice Biennial, which is a major achievement to be part of the group exhibition, or in this case, a solo exhibition in the Hungarian Pavilion. And there you included in your sculptures elements on the second side, I would say, from storage, library, usage. So shelves, things which have to do with memory and archival elements. Are these like closed series? Because there's another series where you involve building materials like levels. How do you work in these? Are these groups of works? Or maybe you can take us on to Venice and your exhibition there.
I have an exhibition a few years before Venice. And the title of that exhibition was Conquered Storage. It was about somehow the same topic that how you can build your inner storage and fill it with your pain and memories and things like that. So that's why I used the symbol of pain as the teardrop. So mm-hmm. I put a lot of teardrops on those metal shelves like artifacts. Yeah, that was the basic idea. And I really would like to refer to the relationships between people and how to find your common language with others, with the totally different person as you, and if it's important to find any connection or not. I don't know, sometimes I hungry for connecting with others, but in the same way, I'm a bit introverted as well. So I always have this desire to to find this connection, but a lot of times it can be very painful.
Yeah, you refer to Schopenhauer's porcupine dilemma, which is references to the animal with the with the spikes.
Yeah,
because
spikes.
If they get too close, they hurt each other. But if they don't get close enough, they miss the worms and the emotional connection they need, which I think is a very strong image. In fact, this body of work is these organs somehow meet with. Like soft organs meet with hard facts, shelves, which sort of represent memory, no?
Yeah, and the shelves could be also skeletons of the sculptures as well.
Mm-hmm. Like a bone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then a repeating element in your work are also gates.
I just realized it now. When we started to install this show at Koenig Gallery, and I created this flower gate, and
exactly.
I was like, okay, again.
Another gate.
Yeah.
Okay, these things happen subconsciously, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Okay. I find it interesting to see your work has, I think it has also quite a strong conceptual line, how it declinates elements of sculpture, these two elements, the soft shape and in the same time sort of hard fact inclusion of elements like here the Janus head or the apple or the shaving system.
Yeah, it's also because of, I think, duality somehow is very important for me. So I really like the two sides of one thing. And somehow I always imagine that there is something, but of course there is another side of it, and maybe that side is usually hidden. And I would like to make visible the hidden part as well. So that's why I really like the symmetry. And I work a lot with symmetrical sculptures, which has almost the same two parts. So first glimpse, you see that, okay, it's totally symmetrical, but they are different if you go closer to them and lose the distance.
Yeah, and at the same time, the both extremes, no? You have an apple which is blossoming and rottening, not at the same time, but like on the left side it's blossoming and on the right side it's already decaying somehow.
Yeah, or the one side is unripe and the other side is damaged and the ripe one.
Yeah. So sort of a metamorphosis of spring and autumn right now in the exhibition. So the exhibition you are installing right now is titled In Ethylene Arms and is somehow a garden of earthly delights and suffering, like both yin and yang somehow sides. How do you approach an exhibition from the space or from something you're busy with emotionally? Like what is usually your starting point?
It was a good question because, for example, in Venice, the space was very complicated, and I felt the pressure that I have to create some kind of site-specific installation there. But and it was a big concern for me. But now at Koenig Gallery, I really like the space, and first I thought that, okay, I need to do something huge here. But then I realized that for me it's more important to work on an intimate topic. Mm-hmm. And I felt that the idea of the church could be also very intimate. And so it wasn't the most important thing to create something especially to this space, but I really wanted to work on this topic of growing up and became an adult next to a baby or a children. So, mm-hmm. So that's why this two head of the Janus figure, ripe and unripe one, because yeah, because sometimes they are in a very strong connection, and I felt that it's a huge effect on me, mm-hmm. having children nowadays. Mm-hmm. So this topic of the motherhood is also in the exhibition.
Mm-hmm. And so this is something which, did you anticipate it before becoming a mother, that it would have such an impact?
Not really.
No? Interesting. No. And the elements of like the Virgin Mary in the show and the Janus head, but these are all themes and elements which appear in your work before or likely would have appeared, or is it a clear reaction to the sort of pre-fact that it was that the space was a church?
Yeah, of course. For example, the Virgin Mary figure came originally from the image of the snake, because I put a lot of worms into the space, like worms which can consume the apple or attack the flower when it's a very innocent form of the apple. And I was searching for motifs of worm and snakes, and then I found this image, which I really liked, when the Virgin Mary stepped on the snake and tried to destroy it. And for me, the worm in this exhibition is in connection with remorse that I constantly feel. When, for example, I'm working in the studio and I feel that, oh, I should be with the baby instead of this. And so it's like a constant struggle between motherhood and my
artistic career
and life.
And practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and the urge to create, no?
Yeah.
It's like not something you really choose for. It's more a pressing.
Yeah, I have to.
You have to, yeah. Now, that's interesting. But I like this, in the press release, this expression of the anti-hero, the worm as an anti-hero, which I thought was a good description. And also the whole chain of the apple, which is rottening. And when apples rot, they create this poisoned gas, which is a giving title to the show.
Yeah, that is the ethylene.
Yeah.
And I depicted that moment when the ripe apple gives a kiss to the unripe one, and it's ripening. So I just wanted to show this effect on each other. I mean, the connection between the mother and child, for example.
This concept of the garden, is this unique in this exhibition or a process you always create?
I think it's totally unique.
Unique, yeah?
Yeah.
And the elements in Venice, which I was very impressed by, are connected via chains. So they were all separate sculptures, but then had these metal chains going from one sculpture to the other, going up, and then these tiers you mentioned were hung almost like a spider web, and then they were sort of connected. But this was unique for Venice as well.
Yeah. Because I wanted to show the system of the human body when, you know, there are different organs, but they should work together to keep a human alive. And I was following the same system in the exhibition that we really need each other to stay alive.
Mm-hmm.
And we are constantly seeking for connection with others.
And but is it to be separate in groups, or is it an ongoing flow of work? Like when you include, for example, these levels, there are no daily sort of objets trouvé or ready-mades included in this exhibition now, right? Because there's one group where you have the chains and the shelves, then there are ones with a level.
Yeah, but in this exhibition there is no added elements.
When do they appear in your practice and when not? Maybe this has to do with motherhood too, that before it was somehow...
Yeah.
Right?
Maybe I was missing something before.
Yeah. Yeah, that it's maybe a more direct, more impulsive, more emotional outcome before it was sort of, I mean, literally saying constructed, because you use construction material too,
Yeah, and, that's it.
and how do you find these shapes? Do you do drawings and illustrations before you realize them in 3D, because they are quite voluminous and they have a metal rod structure inside, then styrofoam around, and then you glue, which you describe as a meditative process, you glue these glass mosaic on the bones, so to speak, and you break these mosaics, right? You have
big plates.
You crush them, and then you apply them. And that's a quite time-intense project, no?
Yeah, it's very time-consuming. But somehow I always like this kind of approach to an artwork. So before the mosaic technique, I was working with small paper pieces, and I also put them next to each other. And before that, I was working with textile, mm-hmm. with antique textile pieces. And so somehow fragments are really important for me, I think. But yeah, back to your question, I usually do sketches before I start making a sculpture, because yeah, we have to produce the metal structure inside the sculpture, and I have to say that I don't like this that much, because of this metal structure, the form of the sculpture is totally determined. So
how? You can't react in the flow.
Yeah.
Yeah. You make a foundation, and then that's determined that you have to stick to that shape and can't be flexible.
Yeah, and that I don't like that much. But there is a guy who I work with, and he's a metal worker, and he's open to change the form when it's ready.
Ah, in the process. Okay. Yeah. So ideally, you would like to shape these on the go, more like digitally,
virtually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but and that's why I was also thinking that maybe I will go back to clay for a while. So I would like to make some experimenting with that material as well.
Yeah, what I find so spectacular with your work is that they are so timeless, you know, they have a total contemporary touch and appearance, but the material you choose could be also from any decade and long past history or future, you know, so, and that I find very rare also to see today that, you know, there's a lot of these post-human elements used, which remind us of alien movies from the 80s, and but have this, as you say, the material you mentioned before, epoxy, yeah, you know, and plastic and epoxy surfaces and things like this. And I find this so interesting that you use this. Yeah, when did it first appear? It's almost, it's like a positive terrazzo or something like this, no?
Yeah, I have a very classical approach as well. So I don't know, I like very simple materials.
And then you do the drawing, you make the metal inside, and then you start applying the colors you choose in the process?
Yeah, first, you know, I put the styrofoam on the metal, and then I carve it. And after that, I choose the colors, but usually it's very flexible. So I just try some colors on the surface, and sometimes I decide that, oh, it doesn't work together. So
you take them off again.
Yeah, take them off.
And then the ribbons appear also in the end, and they're not already on the drawing. You know, these like, it's called ribbon, I think, no?
Yeah.
And the Janus head is a repeating element?
No, it's a totally new one.
Completely new, yeah?
Yeah.
Because you did another one, but it was not really a Janus head, just with two heads.
Yeah, it was three heads.
Oh, three, exactly, in three directions,
Yeah, but it wasn't a Janus head, it's just a small family.
Yeah. How clear you have a body of work in mind when you start doing it? Because now it's like, maybe it's good to also describe, we have this, there's these two works on the wall, which come sort of out of the wall, which are, I would say, almost like a birth scene.
Yeah.
Right? Or how would you describe them?
Yeah, that was the one with the Virgin Mary figure when it stepped on the snake, or here on the worm, one of them.
Yeah, it's like a hybrid between snake and worm, no?
Yeah, something like that. But I just really wanted to show some destructive movements. Mm-hmm. Like I have the desire to to erase this guilt.
The disturbing element in the apple. But and also interesting is that it has no gender, no? A worm is
no,
it's trans, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And the apple as a symbol also of the ruining element from paradise, no?
Yes, it could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And for me, that kind of the first fruit, or it could be the first fruit. So I really wanted to work in with some fruit motif. And somehow that was my first idea to work with the apple, because it's the simplest and the most evident form for me when I'm thinking about the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's a biblical one, so...
Yeah, but it has also this crazy fact that a rotten apple in a bowl other fruits is rotting all of them,
but,
right?
It's contagious. But it's the same with banana, for example.
Yeah.
So not only with the apple, but... but somehow I remember that my grandmother told me that if you put a rotten apple next to an unripe one, it will ripen. So,
yeah.
So it was in my mind.
Yeah. So, and then there is this, these two works, both Virgin Marys have these destructive element?
Not really, only the
only one. Only one, right?
Yeah, yeah, and the other one is...
more passive.
Yeah, it's more passive, and there the worm is more threatening because it's around the leg of that figure, so it's attacking it.
Mm-hmm. And the gate?
The
flower gate?
Yeah, it's a two flower with this huge reproductive organs. And
it's a good way to put them. Reproductive organs. This is a children-free podcast, so we can avoid.
I don't know what's the name of that. You know, the flower has those small yellow things.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And where is this gate leading to?
To that garden.
To the garden of earthly pleasures and sacrifice.
Yes, sacrifice, yeah. And tenderness and caring.
Do you plan always more that you're able to realize?
Or, yes.
Yeah, so you, like ideally it would have been more full?
Yeah.
Yeah? So what's missing?
Yeah, but now I realize that it's too much, so we should remove one sculpture from the... from the space.
Okay, so then first you think it's too less, and then you realize it's...
Yeah, and that's why I was super nervous all day today, and I couldn't sleep, because I felt that, no, it won't be enough, and then I had the feeling that it's too much, and I have to remove one sculpture, which is my favorite, and I just don't know what to do anymore. And, yeah.
Ah, okay. Yeah, that's a tricky thing with the space, because it's so untypical space, because it has no white walls, and it has these stucco walls from the church, that the scale, because it seems so big, but in fact it's quite small, because, I mean, it's a very big space, but it feels relatively small because of the human proportion after all, or so.
Yeah?
So a lot of artists tend to fill it up, but that often less is more, because the works, either if it's sculpture or painting, need space somehow to breathe and have a develop a certain presence.
Yeah, and first we just put the two flowers, the flower gate, on top of the steps, and I just felt some relief that okay, it will be fine.
And tell me, there is a reference to this cannibalism in the digital age, but also this is then sort of theories or publications or essays you find.
Yeah, I found an essay about digital cannibalism, and it was interesting for me because there is an act when you are on the internet that you cannibalize yourself because you can put a lot of information into this ocean and maybe it will get back to you, but someone will make small changes on it. You cannot know if you were the author of this idea or not, because this is a constantly changing mass or ocean or something. And
also like a metamorphosis again.
Yeah, yeah. And through of this mass, you can consume others, but also yourself. So, yeah, it was a very interesting topic for me.
I mean, there's also here almost like an evolutionary being eaten up by itself. Where is this sort of growing into? What did you learn while doing the work? As the next aspect, you see where this is somehow evolving to?
I didn't have that kind of aim to find out something.
Or not to actively find it out, but do you notice the certain... how reflexive is the practice that you, for example, did you notice that you didn't use daily elements this time? Or is this not so conscious?
I think it's not so conscious somehow, yeah.
Is this sometimes also just a question of coincidence that you have things lying around the studio?
Not really. Sometimes I just feel that I need something more, and I really wanted to work with balance in my last show, because growing up it's also about finding some kind of balance in your life, or try to find it, because it's almost impossible. And I was looking, how can I depict this balance? And I was looking a lot of objects and try to find something to put it in the sculptures. And I found these levels, and I really like the small liquid in the...
Yeah, I find it also so fascinating. I was so fascinated as a child. I always tried to keep the level in the hand, you know, left and right, and keep the bubble
in the middle
of the line.
Yeah,
which is such a fascinating... And it's everywhere the same, no?
Yeah. But I also like the color of that liquid. It's like a poison or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Or almost otherworldly,
yeah,
no?
Yeah,
like as
yeah.
if it's from the alien
yes.
liquid or something like this.
Yeah.
And are these topics, for example, are they still active for you, or you moved on to other?
No, it's still active. I mean, this virtual and actual existence is not really interesting.
The question of balance, for example, it's also in the work now, right?
Yeah,
with
the
balance between blooming and rottening, and the balance of spring and autumn.
Because it's also about adulthood somehow for me. So.
And the power dynamics between the warm and the snake, which the snake tempted and used the apple as a temptation, and now the Mary is sort of killing the snake, which it has all its suffering from somehow.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
But are you have you been grown up religious?
No, not really. I just really like the symbols and the artworks of Christianity, I think.
Yeah, and the concept is quite good too, no? I mean, the whole narrative of sin and absolution and and it comes very well together here in the church, which is also interesting how the architecture sort of refers to Christian, because Sankt Agnes was a saint who was tortured and raped and killed by a group of Roman soldiers. And then in reaction to this, her hair grew and her body was like then surrounded with a lot of hair. These soldiers then died in the hair. And apparently the architect has chosen the very rough surface for the building inside outside as this literation somehow. I don't know how solid this is. And maybe last, this experience in Venice, that was a huge, I mean, that's a huge step in every artist career, but also once you have done Pavilion in Venice, it's pretty much sort of the end game, like the final level. And you did that quite early in your career. How was, and also maybe good you did this prior you gave birth to your beautiful baby, because you had all the energy 24/7 to do that without making any compromises. When you look back at this, how was this?
It was a very huge challenge because it's an open call in Hungary. You can apply for that as a curator with an artist. And when the curator, Monika Zsikla, found me she just invited me to the project that let's apply together. And first I was like, oh, maybe it's too early. But then I instantly said, okay, let's try it. And
you gave it a realistic chance yourself?
No.
More like lottery, right? Let's play, but who knows, right? Isn't that so?
Yeah, but after that, when we got this opportunity and I started work on the pieces, I just realized that it's the best period of my life to try myself in this kind of battleground. Because I felt that I need a further step and something bigger than I made before. So I feel that it came at the right period.
So mm-hmm. Yeah. And now with your new routine or situation as a mother, what do you feel this has an impact on your work?
Yeah, but somehow I feel very vulnerable, or more vulnerable than before, and more stronger as well. So
yeah.
It's a very strange feeling.
Yeah, so thank you so much for taking the time talking with me and us here. And mainly thank you for this exhibition in Ethelene Arms, which is still in the process of being installed right now in the nave. And how do you feel about the installation and the outcome of the exhibition compared to how you imagined it?
Yeah, now I feel that, as I told you, I felt it won't be enough for the space, but now I can feel some relief and I see that it will work well with the space. So
not finished.
Nothing.
Okay, then I won't take more time of you and let's go back to install. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Was mit Kunst? Ein Podcast von und mit Johann König.